This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You have to be strong in today's world.
Strong.
Keep your focus and
up.
What you believe in, how to achieve all your dreams.
Hey.
Keep moving forward. Never accept less than who you are. Live your best life.
Hey.
Be strong and free. It's the Hit Back.
Hey.
With Nahasha Black.
Hey.
It's the Hit Back.
Hey.
With Nahasha Black.
The Hit Back with Nahasha Black is sponsored by the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Baha Retreat and Spa, Helena Financial Advisors Limited, and J.S. Johnson.
Bahamas, and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Nahasha Black. It's a beautiful day here in the 242. I am sorely not made up, you know, after how many days. I know my good friend Cecil, his trapsy self, will definitely notice. You know, CA, how you doing, buddy?
I see you have no makeup on. Interesting.
Yeah, man. You gotta just go.
You didn't go out celebrating today at all?
Celebrate with who? COVID? No.
Well, COVID is there, but I passed several places, and they have a stakeout and grill out. There's
really?
A party going on.
Stop talking, fool. That's a real thing?
Man, you need to come see Fox Hill. We have all kind of free food out here.
Wait, y'all, what's Fred's thing? Better days ahead with Fred?
Fred, that's what it is. That's
Fred,
what it is.
Hey, girl. Yo,
yeah.
Tell ya. All right. So, it's so good to see you, buddy. I see you got on your colors. You're colored right
up. My shirt of many colors. I have some gold. I have some red. I have some black, you know, and I have some tangerine. I know how this is.
Someone said, Joe said, ain't nothing happening in Fox. Stop lying.
Oh, okay. We go by that park then.
Oh, there's a whole, oh, by the park. Okay, cool. Listen, it's so good to have you guys. You know, some, oh, y'all, listen, I have so many stories for you, Cecil. Yesterday was an interesting day for sure. Of course, the big news is that the FNM won by a landslide.
Yes. What?
No,
what?
They didn't.
No.
They lost. And see, yeah. I caught you.
Yeah, but I caught myself back. Yes.
I caught you.
Yeah, but see? I caught myself back.
Yeah. Mm. Way to get yourself. All
today
right.
Today is a brand new day, and everything started over at 12:01 today.
Shout out to North Abaco. Abaco, okay, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, but before we get there,
But Nahasha, I need to ask you something.
Yeah.
I want to know, why did Dr. Minnis have curfew ended at 11:59?
I don't know. I think because that, you know, because at 12 o'clock it would be a new day.
There you go. There you go. A new day.
Yeah.
I have jokes.
It was online. Everybody saw that joke.
Yep.
Someone
said,
Nahasha, what happened to that face last night? You were supposed to sleep in that. I tell you what, I was about 4 minutes into both lashes being on. And I said, the devil is a liar. He ain't make me this way. I couldn't sleep with them things on. One time I thought it was a thing. So I almost poked out an eye. It's too scared to sleep with the lashes on. But we digress. All right, Cecil, before we move on, we got to start the show like we ended the one last on Wednesday. So we got to start it with a song. And, of course, producer, hit that beautiful track, please, to start off this show where we do a wheel selector and come again. Start the track. Arlie, my producer today.
A new day.
Tell the people,
tell the people. recipe and feed them right. They right. Turn the F on them, go left. Press the P and feed them right.
Got the music. All right, everybody. New day has come, and it just feel like Friday. I ain't gonna lie to you, because I don't really have like a party. Like but can I just say something feels good about seeing that letter from the former prime minister? Something feels good. It was reading that letter, that concession letter. It was
too long and verbose, and it ran out.
Too long.
I think a concession letter needs to be one paragraph. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and congratulations to the new incoming prime minister. It was much regards, and that's it.
It's not supposed to be
all about COVID and pandemic and about, yeah. about hurricanes, and we pledge to do better for the next time. And this is a concession letter.
Say bye. No, but you said, right?
And move on. You know what I mean? It's like, it was long.
It was, someone asked if I voted for the ex-PM. You know, I can tell. I will start talking about it when I get mad. You know who I vote for when I start to get mad. That this administration don't do their job. It's fine, no quick who I vote for. I thought the concession letter, I thought it would have been best if we had done it actually, you know, on a stage and said, hey, this is what, this is this, you know, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being able to serve you. But do it in a way where others do it, where you concede and you do it in front of cameras and you say goodbye. That will be the last thing you do as a prime minister.
Not necessarily. And you do those things, what you're saying, in the House. The gentleman said he's going to lead his party inside the House at the opening, and then and hint that something else might happen. So all that, what you were trying to suggest should happen, you have time enough to do that.
No, I don't hear from him then. The night for conceding or the concession speech is that night. You don't, you know, I mean, you do it that night. You say goodbye, you concede on air to the people, and you do your thing.
All of that is just for dramatics and thing. You're like TV too much.
CNN TV is order, creating a standard. Say someone said, no, he had too much airtime. You're just petty. I think, I can tell you.
The letter was adequate. This was too long. It was just too long.
That's just too long. Okay. I mean, you know, that was one thing. So then we had, let's talk about the entire night of the race, right? Solo does have a new song. We will be playing Solo's song as well. Someone, for the record, the special request, Cecil, was that we play this song really at the top. But I didn't want to play this song at the top because, I mean, come on. Why would I play this song at the top of the show?
San Andres!
Are you ready for this one?
It's a new day! London coming true! London coming hard!
Hey! Hey! San Andres gone gold, y'all.
Tell them London is here!
Yeah.
He coming hard!
Ha.
He got big plans!
Big
in London, PLP, I'm just progressing now, progressing now. I go to London, PLP, progressing now, progressing. Can I just progress it with Brad and London, the PLP party? This is a brand new day. Can I just progress it with Brad and London, the PLP party? This is a brand new day. Get on by, we gon' win this. Carry on by, we don't win this. South Andros is our business. I go to London. PLP, I'm just progressing now. Progressing now. I go to London. PLP, progressing now. Progressing. Hey. Can I just progress it?
Hey.
With Brad and London.
Hey.
The PLP party.
Hey.
This is a brand new day.
Hey.
Can I just progress it? With Brad and London.
Hey.
The PLP party.
Hey.
This is a brand new day.
Woo!
It's still hot. It's still the best song ever for the election, the top song. And every time I hear it, I got to find a rag to throw it up. I enjoyed that. And thanks again.
Lundy still has the best song. By far the best song.
I
was told, though, Nahaja, how could we like this song? And, you know, we like the song, but it ain't an original. The words are original, but the beat ain't. But it was something about the way Ebony and those arranged that it hit perfect. That feels like an original song to me. I
like the original version of it, too. And it still is good.
Yeah.
I might prefer this over the original version.
Man.
It reminds me of Who Let the Dogs Out, and knowing that was an original, but yet it got all kind of Grammy Awards. Yes.
Ah.
And the top Bahamian song ever, Who Let the Dogs Out. See, you're only make me feel guilty.
Yeah, no. It was good. It's good. This is one of that has to be the favorite song of the campaign by far. Someone said, was CA waving his underwear. It's possible. It's possible.
It is possible. It is possible.
All right. So, listen, we have a lot of stuff to get to today, y'all. I'm so excited for everyone who's tuning in. The big news is that the Progressive Liberal Party has won the government by what is considered, is that considered a landslide? It was better than I thought. I said 29-1-9 in the final day. So that night I changed my number and I gave it more. But my one didn't pan out. By the way, you owe me a two-count salads, actually.
You owe me two-count salads, actually. What surprised me, your women tend to forget what y'all bet, right? Because I have it written down right here.
I have a cloud of witnesses.
Independent candidates won't make a dent at all. Two Kong salads. Bang.
No, but I didn't take that bet. You said it aloud.
You should have taken that bet because that's what you supported.
I didn't support the bet.
I knew better than support Reese, and I know better than support Michael Pine. It was a waste of my time.
No votes.
And you talk about Michael Pine have song? I knew better.
Michael Pine was the only competitor for Ginger. Shout out to Ginger.
That's why I got my two-count salad.
Get a two-count salad, sweet boy. Let me just make sure that everyone who my clouds of witnesses understands that Lisa Ramming indeed did beat the chagrin off of Romy Ferreira in Marathon.
And the humor is, both you and I agree that Lisa Ramming more likely would have beat that. When we said it was the two goats and one duck, right? And I said the point is it'll be close, right? Now we found that it wasn't close.
Thank you. Yvette, say stop my NCA and get Nahaja
aside. I thought that Lisa Ramming would have won, but it would have been close, and it was a wipeout.
Everybody know you lying, man. Everybody know you need to get saved. I want my Kong salad, tropical Kong salad.
But I won. None of those independent candidates that you call.
You sound like menace.
That's low. That hurt. I'm your friend no more.
You ain't safe. Get from
there. No, but that's my song. You can't be playing the song there exactly to be mad.
Yeah, no, because you need. I told Ms. Black it was a draw.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Because people remember me talking about the independent and said that makes no sense. No.
Give me my tropical Kong salad. What's the name of the place that's on the name of the Kong salad stand that's across from Compass Point by Gambia? They make a mean one.
I think we call it a tropical Kong salad place. By that corner there. Where is Tropical Gardens?
I think they have a name.
It's called the Tropical Gardens Kong Stand Man.
We just said Gambia Kong Stand Man. I think we go with Gambia Kong Stand Man.
But I'll drive there and get you a Kong salad. I have no problem. And the tropical one. Yeah.
You best believe it. And you and your wife could sit there and watch me and Mark and eat it.
Yeah, okay? No problem.
That's what I like. Dino's.
Even though I won the bet, I have no problem buying the Kong salad.
No bet. We got a cloud of witnesses. You lost.
Everybody on Radio Land knows you supported Michael Pine.
I did.
And Reese Chipman, and I bet against that. I said the devil's a liar.
I didn't bet that.
I remember doing a ritual, and that you see that thing flying inside the air.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No.
Whatever you're saying, Willis.
You didn't see it fly in the air.
Ain't nobody know what you're talking about. Willis, just give me my count salad.
You didn't see the thing fly in the air before the election?
Oh, that was the space shuttle.
See, y'all calling all kind of strange names. I tell you, I did one ritual, and the thing started flying. I knew from then that church was out, and crab would have been crawling.
That's what you knew? You thought it was the apocalypse. Don't lie. You repented. Like the sinner you are, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you uncircumcised Philistine, we are going to be brought back with our good friend QC, Wayne Monroe. Wayne Monroe now has won his seat. Boy, Wayne ain't homeless in this political game no more. He ain't on the sideline anymore. We'll have him joining us. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number, they see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. That's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
You invest in your children, your home, and your community. But are you investing in your financial future? At CFAL, we specialize in investment management, retirement planning, mutual funds, and private wealth management. Our team of experts never stops helping you plan for tomorrow. Because tomorrow begins today. Call us at 502-7010 to see what our financial advisors can do for you. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
Have you heard about the COVID vaccine raffle? If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you can enter to win amazing prizes like food store gift certificates, hotel stays, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. The COVID vaccine is free, safe, and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.vaxbahamas.com to register.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
To The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My good friend C.A. Nuri is joining us, and joining us all the way from wherever he is the one and only Wayne Monroe QC, who has background noise, I gather. You can tell, you know.
Congratulations, Wayne Monroe QC. I want to be the first on the show to congratulate you before Nahaja Black, so okay. I can get the credit for it.
That was pretty petty. Like, I mean,
that's okay.
You didn't
we
even let me.
Negroes need to stick together, and I need to make sure I get the endorsement out ahead of you so he can remember good people.
You know what? I do not believe an MP is giving jobs, so it ain't gonna work. All right? Procurement Act, a Ombudsman, Integrity Commission, all of them things, Wayne, you jump on it. So Cecil could only say congratulations, and ain't no side hustle. Thanks, Wayne. How you doing, buddy? Congratulations.
That's right. Thanks, both of you.
Yeah, man, it's good to see you.
And no particular order.
How dare you? I was supposed to go first, Wayne. Like, what happened? You know, and let me call Rodney for you. You're supposed to do that in order.
All righty.
But it's good to have you, buddy. Congratulations on winning Freetown. Let's go through. Tell us a bit about that night, last night. What was it like? I know some of the first polls came in. You know, the first ones that came in, it showed that it was pretty close, and that Mr. Diagala was leading a bit in those earlier polls. Were you ever nervous?
No, well, that was in Freetown. The first polls showed me up. And what's always important in these matters is not percentages, but where the polling division is located. So whether it is a PLP stronghold or an F&M stronghold is what you would look at. And the first polling divisions came and showed us ahead. Eventually, he won, I think it's three of them and only three of them. And they came in a little later and they were close. So once we saw that we were holding the, for want of a better word, PLP polling divisions, and we saw a drop in the margin of the ones that he would win. And then once we won the polling division that included Paradise Island, we knew it was over.
Mm, what time did you know?
I would say it was about, it must have been about 8 o'clock, I would think.
Yeah, those results were coming in pretty quickly. So then at this point now, at 8 o'clock, there were tons of entries coming in. I know that my phone was blowing up about all of the seats that were won or lost. What was it like at your constituency office? What was it like with your family the moment you knew it was over?
Well, we were actually at the data room because that's where we had the data room, which was at my chambers because we needed uninterrupted power and Wi-Fi. And so that is where that happened. And I ended up there because in the last minutes of a campaign, you're concerned with your no-shows and directing people to go and get them and deliver them to the polls. And so that was where I was when polls closed. That's where we watched it with the person from the data room, the family and that. And when the first polling division reported and it was, we were 70%, there was a big outcry and I thought we had won. And there's a lot of hugging up only to find that it was won. And that caused a threat that if they caused me to prematurely celebrate, somebody would have got thrown out of the window.
If you're just tuning in, Wayne Monroe, QC now. Incoming member of parliament for Freetown. Wayne, what do you think now, or what is your platform? What have you been telling the people of Freetown that you will be doing for them to make a difference?
Well, we would, people generally produce a 10-point plan. And the position I took with them is 10 things are too many things to report that you're going to do at once. And it's managing expectations. So I had a 5-point plan. And my thinking is this, if I do 4 out of 5 things, I've done 80%. If I do 4 out of 10 things, I've done 40%. And we know how we go as a people. Oh, you only did 40% when you would have done the same thing as a fellow who did 80. Mm-hmm. And so my approach is that I believe in measurable metrics. So you should have a tick list to say he's done that, he hasn't done that. And so we're talking about improving the delivery of public services because we found, for instance, right now we have to deal with it. Drains are clogged, streets are flooded. Even East Bay Street, which is in Freetown, is flooded to the west of my office because there are 2 clogged drains because the F&M withdrew the contracts from the people who kept the drains clear. That's a policy issue, but simply clearing it if you have a constituency allowance is something. The roads are horrible. I had a complaint from a fellow who described himself as a cranky old white man in Montague Villas, who says his complaint is about the state of Village Road, which destroys his car. Lights are off everywhere. There's just a failure to deliver on public services, which our tax dollars pay for. That is a matter for the MP to drive. And then, of course, they're upgraded public facilities. I did an ad where you look at Salem Park. It's in abysmal condition. There's very little public facilities for the young folk at all. And then the 2 banner issues that will be longer in coming is a community center, which every inner city community was supposed to have under the Safe Bahamas Initiative to reduce crime. And then it's fishing cooperatives. We are going to try to do centered around confiscated Dominican fishing vessels. And during the course of the campaign, thrown in with the fishing cooperatives, which is more driven towards young men, would be, and you might like this, Cecil or Cecil. I have to figure out which one your pronunciation is, English or American. is the concept of reviving platting top for young ladies. Sharon Lady Wilson, about a decade or so ago, had a proposition that rather than a young woman with a baby going out to work and having to pay $50 for childcare, she can sit home, learn to plat top, sell it, and take care of a child at the same time. And I've learned that plat is very expensive and that people buy it from down in Long Island. So those are the 4 plans, points I've set out. once I clear them off, we could move on to another four. It's pointless having a bunch of things you say you're going to do and not be able to focus on one or two and get them done out of the way and then on to the next one.
Let me ask you this, Wayne Monroe QC, and I know CA has a question for you as well. Has there been any discussion on your a post for you in cabinet? Has there's any discussion in terms of attorney general? Many persons are thinking that you would be the supreme choice QC and that we would have very stellar representation. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it doesn't matter what I think unless it's offered. That is in the gift of the prime minister. And our system of government is that the prime minister is first amongst equals, which means that he can appoint you, he can fire you. Once you get in the job, you are as equal to him. Something that the ministers in the last administration didn't really get, and which is why all of them were probably sent home. Because the people are saying to you, you are supposed to be equal with this person. He can give you the job. He can take the job from you. But accountability demands that that happens. Now, having said all of that, whether Brave Davis still has any interest in me being his equal would be a matter for him. And the only question is, if it is offered, would I be in a position and be minded to accept it? And since we generally go into politics for public service, it would be obvious that if you feel capable of doing the job, that you ought to accept the offer.
CA, I know you have a question for him, and I have another one after.
Yes, a quick question, actually. I want to talk about his strategy, his campaign strategy, because I know that he contested, this is second time contesting the election, for and changing him for Montague, right? Mm-hmm. Not Freetown. And that Freetown, I mean, Montague tend to be a F&M stronghold in quotes, right? I want to know, what did you do differently than the last election where you were able to convince so many people to swing the other way and support you rather than supporting the other candidate?
Well, I've always only contested Freetown. It was Freetown last time. It's Freetown now. It was the same boundaries. The strange thing is that I have to check the stats, but I'm not sure that I got much more this time than I did last time. The turnout was much lower now than before. But the reality of it is this. On the last occasion, I know it was the last.
Go ahead. No, we can't hear you now.
There were time challenges on the last occasion. So the reality is I had more time now, and I was able to go around more. I was able to engage with persons more. And so that, to my mind, made the difference.
Let me ask you this, Wayne Monroe, QC, now incoming Member of Parliament for Freetown, the Freetown constituency. When you look at, of course, voter turnout was low. Wayne, voter apathy is high. Do you believe that that serves as a challenge for this government moving forward with regards to getting people on board? One of the things I heard the leader say of the Progressive Liberal Party, Brave Davis, Philip Brave Davis, is that this whole theme of get to know him, trust. What would you say to the voters who said, we're staying home? We're not taking part in this. We don't believe that there'll be any difference. What would you say is the difference between the Progressive Liberal Party and the former administration leading forward?
Well, let me say this. Of the persons who did not show up to vote, from my speaking with persons in Freetown, there were areas where I expected a low turnout because they were F&M supporters who told me, I can't, when you ask them where they were leaning, they say, well, I can't vote for Minnis. Now, they don't tell you that they're going to vote for you, but they say, I can't vote for Minnis. And I guess if they didn't bring themselves to be able to vote for me, what's the point of coming to the polls? A lot of them stayed home. A lot of people were then afraid of COVID because the prime minister in his wisdom, the former prime minister, happily the former prime minister, called an election during the height of a COVID spike. And so there were people who were concerned with their health. and stayed at home. So in Freetown, there was a turnout of probably about 58% when the usual is 90% or so. How much percentage of that is F&M supporters who just couldn't vote for their lousy government is one total. And then the total of people who would have been afraid because of COVID is another total. And then in one or two of the polling divisions in Freetown, there were long lines into the hot sun. And how many people went home and didn't come back because of that would be an issue. So the reality is that's an indictment of the previous government. Going forward, this government says it's a new day, and it is in fact a new day. There's a massive difference between the PLP and the F&M, and I love to rehearse it. The PLP is responsible for independence. The PLP is responsible for majority rule. PLP is responsible for every living institution in the Bahamas.
Some will say, Wayne, to interject on that. Yes, that was yesterday's past. Many still say, this is one of those things where I say you cannot ignore, though the narrative may not suit you, you cannot ignore the fact that we have voter apathy, that there's a lot of people that I've spoken to who would tell me, man, listen, I just don't think my vote will make a difference. Nothing will change. That is what I'm asking you. When you look at it, not in the historical sense, how is this, because folks are even looking at the previous PLP administration and saying nothing will change. How do you say, Wayne, to them and to all of us who might be skeptical, this is why we're different under Brave Davis?
Well, I don't understand how one disconnects, for instance, this administration from UB. UB happened, the administration just passed, or disconnects it from BAMSI, or disconnects it from Sandy Bottom, or disconnects it from NHI. When I say the PLP is responsible for every institution, every administration of the PLP, you have the creation of another institution. Now, voter apathy, as I found in my canvas, is usually driven by lack of knowledge, and that may just have to do with, and it's largely in the younger population. So, for instance, I met a lot of young persons who did not know that we had apartheid in the Bahamas. They just did not know it. They did not know that the F&M opposed independence. They did not know it. It did not occur to them that the PLP created NIB. It did not occur to them that the PLP created the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. And I'm talking about Marines in the Royal Bahamas Defense Force who were telling me they were apathetic. And they didn't know that the PLP was responsible for the creation of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force over the objection of the F&M. So a lot of people are apathetic because they simply do not know the political history.
And
we have to teach it.
And you're right to that. You're right on that. I agree with you. And there's a lot of political history that would lend credence. But people have recency bias. What happens in a person's life today is considered historic. And whereas history, to a certain point, so I'll give an example. If you're just tuning in, Wayne Monroe, QCCA, and you're rejoining me. If you ask a young person born in the era, or all of us who were born in the era of Michael Jordan, we won't think about some of the greats before. Michael Jordan will be the greatest. And if you ask a young person who was born in the heart of LeBron James, they actually believe LeBron James is the greatest player to ever live. This is basketball. This is sports talk. I don't know if you follow that. But my point is that there is a recency bias. People live in this moment today. I talk to millennials, my friends, my colleagues, who will say that, hey, all they know is the two, one ain't different from the other. And that is not a debate. You guys won. So I'm not trying to debate that or how they feel. What I'm asking, Wayne, is for those who feel that way, based on what you guys have planned for your agenda, how do you say to them, we are going to be different because of the low-hanging fruits? Will you say the low-hanging fruits legally, we're going to execute? We're going to put in the ombudsman. Are we going to execute the Freedom of Information Act? We're going to institute right away term limits or not term limits. I don't necessarily think it's necessary. If you like the person, let them keep going. But, you know, things like that. Like, what do you give? How do you give them?
But, Nadja, that individual would be being disingenuous. when we talk about people saying, oh, I don't trust Babe Davis, that would be based on historic material. If you say the parties, the two parties are the same, that's based on historic material. And so you would be bound to examine the historic material. And so I used to ask people, why do you say the two parties are the same? Oh, because it doesn't make a difference who's in power, everything happens the same. And then you would have to come and look back at the institutions. I think the PLP did a very poor job on forcing people to confront the political history, because it is only based on the history that you can project what somebody is likely to do. And so, for instance, we set out a plan. We set out an economic plan. We set out a blueprint. These chaps campaigned really on trying to assassinate the character of the leader of the party. In the later days, when they became desperate, they tried to assassinate other people's character. They never really campaigned on a plan. But anybody can put a plan down. What makes the difference with the PLP, why you may believe our plan, is every administration, we deliver on an institution. And so not only do we write it down, but we do it. These folk, the other folk, did not even advance a plan. And so that is just very important. And so when you have plans, if something disastrous happened, you have a plan to focus on. So it's like we had a common education plan that was bipartisan. The government changed. They just threw it out the window. We had a 40-year plan that was bipartisan. The government changed. They threw it out the window. The PLP is committed to return to that plan. And so we have to be more educated and more sophisticated about it. Back in the day when we had apartheid, the UBP kept us enslaved by simply calling our black brothers corrupt and saying that somehow the PLP was the dumber party and we were the smarter party.
But I think you're missing my point on this question, you know, I really think you're missing my point. I feel like I'm giving you a softball question that you just using legalese to make it deeper.
No, Natasha, I know exactly the softball point, but it's taking up the softball point that causes us the problem. People are able to say, okay, tell me what you're going to do to make it better here. And then after you tell them, they're able to say, well, all politicians just tell you things that they're going to do.
And that is my point.
And that recitation comes. And so it is
and
important.
And that's my point. So then it's important to say
the senior folks call it antecedents, right? What is your antecedents? So I set what our antecedents are, and then I direct you. Our antecedents has always been to deliver on what we tell you, given the time we have, the resources that we have. And so this is what we're telling you we're going to do. And it's based, and you ought to have some faith in what we tell you, based on our antecedents. And our antecedents is that we have delivered every institution in this country.
Someone said, you know, I don't even want to debate this now. We're going to do this again because we have a lot more stuff that we need to do for sure. Wayne Monroe, let me ask you this final question before I let you go. The party stance right now, just even a legal question, not even a party stance, but a legal question with regard to where are we? We have a curfew. I know that Philip Brave Davis was sworn in, and I think we lost you. We lost your camera, Wayne. Are you still there? There you are. Philip Brave Davis was sworn in today. So as it stands, we do have a prime minister, correct?
Yes.
We have a prime minister. What is the position on the curfew? Many folks are asking, will it go back to 9 as previously stated by the former prime minister?
Well, the law is continuous. So the law remains the law unless and until it is changed.
And Cecil has a final question for you. Let's go, CA.
Okay, I'll speed it up. I noticed this election, and I want to spin off your last narrative about the history of the PLP and the showing of what all they have accomplished. I noticed that this election, the PLP Can you hear me?
Keep going. Yeah.
Oh, I noticed that this election that the PLB had 3 white Bahamian candidates, right? In contrast to the FNM, who had 1 white Bahamian candidate, right? I want to know if that was a concerted effort or that just happened by chance. Because I know the narrative of the PLP is that they're not necessarily pro-embracive of our white Bahamians, whereas the FNM is more inclusive. But when you look at the numbers, particularly for this election, it's noticeable that there are 3 versus 1. I want to know if that was coincidence or that the party itself is trying to embrace have a new narrative about themselves.
CA, who founded the PLP?
They were bright-skinned Negroes.
This concept, see, that's another false political narrative that we let march abroad. The PLP was founded by some people from Long Island. And so I don't understand why people think Long Island is FNM country. So we need to start to crack back on that. Honestly, it doesn't jump to my mind who the 3 Caucasian folks are, although we had a bunch of meetings. I just looked at them as people. The PLP has always been the party of Bahamians. When A.D. Hanna talked about Bahamianization, they didn't talk about Black Bahamianization. The PLP talked about Bahamianization, period. Your color doesn't matter once you are Bahamian. And so...
Uh-oh. Wait, we'll get Wayne back. Well, unmute yourself, man. I was
is
just
he
getting
gone
good.
Or he's coming back? You think
he's coming back? I think, wait.
There you go.
People keep calling my phone because I'm participating by phone, but the reality is that we don't make color a big thing. I always tell people the narrative of slavery of white and Black is false. White people initiated, white people ended it. Black people participated in selling their brothers and sisters into slavery, and Black people were slaves. Nothing is color specific. The PLP was founded by, like you want to say, CA, light-skinned Negroes. We've always been an inclusive party. And if people were to suddenly understand our history, Long Island may become what it is destined to become, which is a PLP stronghold.
Wayne Monroe, QC, thank you, buddy. Of course, you know, we always hope that, you know, once you don't become MP and switch, you know, people change their phone numbers and everything. Cecil, you remember that?
I know.
They changed their phone numbers. They stopped answering you.
Now I have the 1 phone number that my mommy know, and she ain't learning no other phone number.
I can try texting Nahaja and see if it works later on. But 2 months from now. Hi.
Let's see after the 100 days agenda if he still won't take my call. Wayne, thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate you. Congratulations again.
And thank both of you for the compliment and the congratulations.
Take care, my friend. Wayne Monroe, QC, the one and only good friend of the show. And happy for him. He won his seat, CA. You know, you should run.
Run where? I was never good at track, you know. I tried that 1,500 and 3,000 when I used to go to high school, and I used to come last.
No. I knew you would come last. I wasn't talking about running a race, that race. I was saying you should run for government. I think you should be an independent. I would not vote for you.
But I know
you should be an independent.
I know how y'all go. That's how y'all go.
Yeah,
y'all ain't no true supporters. But in truth, I know that you were asked to run this election. So I more like you would be a good candidate, eh? See, I control Lotus too. Yes.
Run well.
Yeah.
I don't like losing.
Into that. Leave
me
alone.
I don't like losing.
Yeah.
I don't like losing.
Yeah.
I like to win. We got to take a break. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We will be back right after this.
It's The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. It's The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. It's The Hit
Back. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
We're back with Nahaja Black to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. So we got, I'm trying to play Pia Glover's song before I came on. All right, Arlie. Hold on, Arlie. I see what I did wrong, Arlie. And my producer is going to kill me. Yeah, that is the one I highlighted. That was the one I highlighted. That wasn't the one I wanted to play. I wanted to play this one, Arlie. Sorry. And the reason why I want to play that, first of all, welcome back. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's a beautiful Friday. The country, 40-odd, like 78,000 of us have spoken, with the majority voting for the Progressive Liberal Party and the second majority voting for the Free National Movement and quite a bit of independence. Can I say Coalition of Independence? You should be very proud of yourself. Play the song, Ali. Let her rip before we bring on my guest. Okay, never mind. That ain't it either. I don't know what's going on. That's definitely not it. That definitely ain't it. I want to bring on my good friend, Pia Glover. Pia, welcome to the show.
Hello, Nahaja. Hello,
it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to have you on. Forgive us for the technical snafu, because that song was definitely...
Well, since Nahaja paused, I would like to be the first one to show
up. Shut up. Nobody want to hear from you. I want to be the first one to say...
Nahaja, you stop it.
The first one to say to Pia Glover-Roll, congratulations on becoming the Member of Parliament. Incoming Member of Parliament for Golden Gates. Let me bring on CA now. What is he going to say now?
I would like to be the first with excitement, like with excitement to congratulate Pia Glover-Roll.
Nope, I cut him again. Too much excitement. Let me do it right. Pia, such a pleasure to have you, darling. Congratulations.
Thank you, Nahaja. Bring CA back, man. Come on, man. Don't do it like that.
I want to endorse her and say that few people know that Pia is related to me through marriage. She's a distant cousin of mine.
I'm so sorry, Pia.
I'm claiming her as family, and I'm going to make that official so people know.
Nahaja, after he's dragged me every now and then, he's claiming me as family. You see,
I drag everybody. You just get used to it.
That's the Negro when a family member gets to come up. You know, you just turn into like the big baller in the family. Now everybody going to claim you. Pia, just watch it. Watch him.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, all the time though. I've known him, Pia Glover-Roll, I've never heard him on you once.
Different circles, but now she arrived. She has arrived, so it's a good reason to claim her now. You know, so I shall claim her now.
Listen, it is such a pleasure. I'm so proud of you, Pia Glover-Roll, Golden Gates Member of Parliament. On your first try, you are a winner. What is it like? What are your thoughts like? How was it yesterday and today?
Well, it was a great race. I am a believer in when they go low, you go high. I've subscribed to that my entire life. And I just stayed true to who I was, no matter what I was confronted with. I ran a race. I served the people even throughout my race. I wanted to give them a preview of what was to come. And I know one formula for success, and that's hard work. And I did it. And it was that simple. I'm sorry to make it sound so simple, but it was that simple. I stayed focused. I was insulated from the dramas and the slander and whatever else. And, you know, when your character speaks for you, I understand whatever was out there, people were out there defending me. Not that I need to be defended, but I was able to stay focused. I was able to work with and for the people. And at the end of the day, the people spoke.
Yeah. So, you know, knowing you personally and so proud of, you know, your achievement here. And I always think that going into politics takes courage. And it's a decision where you say, okay, you know, we are going to move forward. And as a woman, it has its own challenges, right? Because we women are... There are some roles that are that kind of by society standard we are supposed to do. And we are very protective of our children, of our family. Right. And, you know, so I think that doing this, what sort of mindset did you have to be in Was it any different from your career mindset when you're focused and singular? Or what type of decision-making came into that choice?
I do everything prayerfully. Everything. I'm the owner of several businesses. I'm a great multitasker. When I have one or two things to do, I'm not happy. I like to be juggling a number of things. So I've mastered the art of being able to focus on a number of things at one time successfully. So being a candidate while being still a great mom, a great wife, still managing some of my businesses, even though I've kind of transitioned and allowed my teams to take over the businesses. Actually, I think I was prepared for the role already because I've always been the person that's been successfully able to multitask. More prayer, more power. So mm-hmm. A whole lot more prayer. I never thought of myself as a patient person, but I realized that I am. My background at the core, my first degree is in hospitality management. And I must say, people said to me, you had to have a background in hospitality because no matter how long a day I had or how tired I may have been in a day, once I got on the ground, I had a burst of energy and I just kept going and I realized, you know, it was the people and meeting the people and speaking to the people and assisting the people that charged me. So it was a great, I would be dishonest if I wouldn't say the race wasn't a great experience.
Yeah. One of the things now, of course, you know, if you're just tuning in, Pia Glover Roll, newly elected incoming member of parliament for Golden Gates. This is a big deal, Pia. You got an MP in front of your name now. What is the thing? I have a belief in that we don't come into power, we come into service. And that our goal is to serve the people. When you did your walkabouts, and one of the things, I got a story for you, it was in the beauty salon getting this hair done, right? And when I was sitting down getting this hair done, by the way, Prestige Transformation, Maria Alcy, give her a call, Faith Avenue, but I just threw in a plug for a good friend. I know, right? She's good. If you ever need a card, I got you. But anyways, so she, it was a customer sitting in there and we were just talking, you know, about the women in the race. And she mentioned that she didn't know that she saw this lady walking about going door to door. She would see a black SUV behind, but this lady would never go and be in the SUV, just going door to door and knocking on doors. And she would say, Jesus, it's so hard. What's wrong with this woman? She didn't know who you were, young lady. And she said, it wasn't until elections were called that she, and you put up your billboard, that she knew who you were. And she said she was so impressed with your work ethic because you did this religiously. She said she'd come home and she'd always see you on the road. And it's very interesting, apropos, that you would talk about, you know, your work ethic. When you went door to door, and she said that's why she would vote for you. So I'd shout out to the lady at the beauty salon who said she'd vote for you. She's Bahamian, no, so we ain't sure, right? Mal could say anything, but I think she meant it. What you heard door to door, Pia, what was it that Bahamians were asking for in your constituency?
I know Golden Gate is a very self-sufficient community. Of course, many of the constituents have come upon hard times through no fault of their own. You know, there's the pandemic, there's the loss of jobs, there's the change in the economy. Golden Gates is a generally self-sufficient area. Many entrepreneurs, I love that about it because, you know, I am all for enterprise. That's one of my pillars and of one of my platforms. And people just wanted attention for the community. And I'll tell you this, Nahaja and CA, when I came into the Golden Gates constituency, I had some plans for things that I wanted to implement in the onset. I couldn't get to them because it was so much low-hanging fruit. It was so many simple things that I, as a private citizen, even before I was ratified, took up the mantle and started to do. So what had happened was, before I even started knocking on doors, I had already started the work in the community. So people would have seen me moving around the community, cleaning up, fixing lights and parks within my purview, because of course there were some things that would have required government approval that I was been blocked on, just saying. And so I did what I could, fixing lights, things that people apparently had been asking for a number of years. And so when I started knocking on doors, basically people already kind of knew me. And they're like, you're the lady that did. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Nahaja?
Yeah, I see you.
Sorry, I got a call. So yeah. You're the lady that did that. So people's concerns in Golden Gate are two things in particular, three things. The community, the upkeep, the cleanliness, the safety of the community, which was already things that I intended to address. Involvement for youth, some type of programs to involve youth and young people, which is my forte. Mm-hmm. And of course, my thing to persons in the community was the pandemic has shown us that a single stream of income isn't it. What are we going to do as a community to make sure that people in this community have more than one stream of income so that when something happens like a pandemic, that maybe there's something else you can tap mm-hmm. into where we aren't relying on just a single stream of income. And basically, that is what the community had asked for, which was so perfectly in line with my plans already.
Mm. So you're ready to go. And, you know, one of the statements of this government, because we know, listen, there is no honeymoon period for the nope. Progressive Liberal Party entering into government nope. because we have serious problems on the ground. We have, you know, of course, the pandemic itself, economic issues in terms of because of the pandemic. We have a lot of social ills, industrial unrest. When you walk in and give us an inside idea of some of the conversations you're hearing with your leadership with regards to vision, plan, mandate within the next few days. Give us an idea of what the Progressive Liberal Party has planned for the Bahamian people in the next few weeks, months.
Well, one thing about the Progressive Liberal Party, we always have a plan. And if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Mm-hmm. So we've always had a plan in every administration. This time around, we obviously have released a blueprint for change. And we've also released our economic plan, which both speak to our plans in the short term, because people want immediate relief in the medium term and in the long term. And I would like to say that our plans are always more of a national development plan. And in a perfect world, we would have a national development plan, whereas whichever government were to take the seat, mm-hmm. the plan would continue. And that would serve the Bahamian people and not a party, because the Bahamian people would have the benefit of a plan that's continuous, so it's no stop and go every 5 years, a plan that is in the interest of the people. And that's what I know we have in the Progressive Liberal Party in our economic plan. We speak to all of the pillars. We speak to healthcare reform. We speak to economic growth and development and investment. We speak to diversification. We speak to Bahamianization, which is a great pillar of the PLP. We speak to reform of our educational system, which is so desperately needed. I say, as a mother of three, I say all the time, we forced our children to be more technological, and some of our children are suffering as a result because it was a very reactionary thing because of the pandemic, whereas we should have been a little bit further in that. We started in our former administration a great plan to reform our educational system. And, you know, education is big for me. I come from a legacy of educators. I am T.G. Glover. I am Carl Denny Francis. I come from a legacy of education, and I'm a mother who believes that education is a pathway to take my children not only...
Sounds like the Minister of Education. That's what I'm speaking to, the Minister of Education. No. That's Hey, doesn't it sound like that?
You're speaking to Pia.
Pia, the Minister of Education, and that's what it sounds like.
But I believe in education. See, I'm a human resources executive that knows that I can give you a job today, Nahaja, and I can take that away from you tomorrow. But I can give you education, the gift of education. Everybody knows that I have a scholarship firm where I have gifted hundreds of Bahamians with education, the gift of education through scholarship. That is something, and I always term it the gift of education, because you can give a man or woman, a person, education. You can't take that back from them, like you can take that job away from them or that contract away from them. So I stand on that. But Nahaja, the PLP, we talk about even digital economy that we've been addressing. We have addressed so many things in our plan.
And do you believe you can accomplish these plans? Do you believe that they're promises or are they strategic goals?
Oh, absolutely. They're smart plans. And you know what smart means. They're plans that we are going to systemically implement. They're plans that we already have a team that is capable to do. Because guess what? Each one of us as candidates had a stake in the plan. It's nothing like when you wrote the plan or were a part of writing the plan that makes it easier to execute, as opposed to being given a plan and saying, okay, this John plan, and we need you, Pia, to execute this. No, yeah. Pia was a part of the plan. Every candidate on the slate was a part of the plan, but more importantly, Bahamians were a part of the plan. There were hundreds of focus groups held over the course of the last 4 years to help us to build our plan. We didn't decide what the people wanted. We asked the people what they wanted.
I like that. That's how I love policy making. You base it off of people. CA, you have a question. Let me get that. Hopefully it's a
good one. My cousin.
Yes, I claim it. But I want to, what I noticed about the PLP for this term is the several powerful women who have confirmed and solidified their seat. I'm excited about that. I'm celebrating that accomplishment, by the way, right? I want to know, as a woman, what do you anticipate your role being? I mean, not you particularly, but women in general, especially the seven women in the PLP and in this administration in terms of governance. I just want you, and without setting up or anything, I just want you to be like in the forefront doing some trailblazing things, because my daughter's excited to see you there and then want to see you doing things and not being that token woman there. So I just want to point that out.
Well, that's a setup anyway.
As your cousin, boy, I never a token woman wherever I am. All right? I'm a trailblazer. So let me just start with that. I'm encouraged by the amount of girls, not women, girls in the community that have said, Miss P, I want to be like you one day. I have mentored personally since 1999, thousands. Last check was over 5,000 young women in this country. In the latter years, I've mentored their children and their grandchildren. So I'm happy to be an inspiration to women. But I capitalize on the fact that as a woman now that has broken the ceiling is gone now. There's no more ceiling. We've done it. Globally, I think the world has recognized the untapped talent of women. And you will see in political circles now around the world, more women are being added. But although I'm a woman and I celebrate that, I'm a capable and competent candidate. And so are my other six colleagues. And that's what's important. The Bahamian people should be appreciative, too, of the fact that as women, at a time like this, in a pandemic environment, in a post-Dorian, and I want to say in a post-government that completely lacked compassion, that the women are at the table. Because at the end of the day, some people call it emotional, but we are the people that innately are compassionate, and we will make a big difference in the social fiber of our country. And that is critical right now for our people that are hurting, for our people that are looking for hope, for people who want someone as a government to care about their feelings, their future. This is where the women at the table will make an indelible mark. And also, I want to assure you that by next election, I'm sure that there will be double in numbers. And that, for me, is inspiring.
See, I'm telling you, Pia Glover Rowe, very, very, I mean, impressive is something would you be insulting because it sounds like a surprise. Anyone who's ever met Mrs. Glover Rowe knows that this is an exceptional human being and very much one that I'm excited and I'm so proud that she is in the forefront and will represent us well. We woman them ain't gonna get shame no more. Oh, look at God, won't he do it? Pia, congratulations again, darling. It's a pleasure having you on. And oh, by the way, before I forget, I have to ask you this, and I need your face to be, I need to enlarge your just to make sure that, you know, because I need this on the record. Are you keeping the same phone number or will I not be able to reach you ever again? I just need to know because, you know, MPs switch up.
So my number has been the same since 1999. I've had the same number. And it's Googleable. Is that a word? Yeah. I don't ask people how they got my number. My number is public knowledge. It's on a number of my social media listings. It's on Bahamas Local because I'm a businesswoman, and I've had clients. I have clients all around the world, all around the region, and I need them to reach me because that's how I make my money. In fact, I've added a number, and what I've done is added another phone, which is 819-4742. I answer all of my social media platforms personally. I've added a number, and that number is because when I'm in a meeting or on a show like now and I can't answer my phone, I want to still be accessible. So I have an assistant, and we answer in real time, and I don't think I ever take more than 24 hours to respond. I don't intend to change because 5 years is a short time. And when I go knocking on doors again, I prefer people to run me because they say, Miss Roy, we know you. Don't come here. We straight, as opposed to running me and saying, where you been for the past 4 years? Like how they asked my colleague yesterday, but I digress.
Oh, I like that answer. Thank you so much. Pia Glover-Roll, darling, thank you so much. All the best to you and your tenure. And we look forward to your success.
Nothing else to say, hey.
No, man, I'm celebrating you. I celebrate all the women's them.
Now, let me tell you, you ain't the woman them leader, but
no,
celebrate
no.
Now.
But I shall save them from their leader. That's all it is. I shall save them.
All right,
thank you,
everyone.
Congratulations
so much. All right, Pia Glover-Roll, CA Nuri, you gonna save the woman them?
Yes, from their leader.
Yeah, very good, exceptional candidate. But member of parliament now, Pia Glover-Roll. Yes. So very good. I like that. You know, very much.
Well, all of the seven women who are now member of parliament are exceptional and strong women.
Yes.
They should be represented well in the House of Assembly. They speak well. They are articulate. They're knowledgeable.
What are they? What? Say it again.
Articulate.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because I started the first time doesn't mean I don't know how to pronounce it. I see where you're going.
Articulate.
A-R-T-I-C.
Don't spell it. Save yourself.
You let. Anyway, back to what I was saying. Just throwing all kind of shade and lowness. But my point is they are educated women. They are most competent and will show their self-approve. And I'm excited about that. I wish to see them play an active role as ministers and executive managers in the PLP. And I shall be watching for that. I shall be lobbying for that, and I shall call out names if such doesn't happen. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. I think that we should not. There are so many of them. They're very sharp. All seven for the Progressive Liberal Party made it in. And, you know, I think that is very much something that is of note, and that's good to see. We're going to take a quick break. And it's perfect timing because CA has some technical difficulties. But congratulations to the seven women who have made it into the House of Assembly. We have Lisa Ramming from Marathon. We had Pia Glover-Roll, Golden Gates, Elizabeth Jobeth, Colby Davis. We have, who else? I'm missing so many. It's like seven. Oh, of course, Glennis Hannah Martin. And I'm missing two more. Cecil. Patricia DeVoe, who put the smackdown on Randwood's Candy Dam.
Yes, you know how I feel. So I'll yield at the time and celebrate it all the same.
Yeah, you definitely yield. I know that's your good friend. Yes. And one more. Who's the other? Leslie Bryce. That's right. So it was seven women. All great candidates. And all the candidates, just for the record, before we go to break, all of the candidates across the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, thank you for running. Thank you for putting your name and your face out there. Ginger Moxie in Freeport. How did I miss Ginger? Ginger Moxie, who took down my independent giant, Ginger. I like Ginger. Ginger was so happy she beat Mac, man. That was a long hug, huh, Novi? All I saw was COVID, but I'm just kidding. Please, everybody, stay healthy. Oh, God, please. Oh, Father. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Peace of mind. Ha ha, sugar, sugar, let's get sugary. Softer, smoother, and amazing skin, oh. Baja sugar, sugar, we're the sugar ladies, giving you skin soft as a baby's. Goodbye hair, we'll take good care of you.
Come visit us at Baja Retreat Spa on East Bay Street. Contact us at 323-6711 or visit us online at www.baharetreat.com.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
You invest in your children, your home, and your community. But are you investing in your financial future? At CFAO, we specialize in investment management, retirement planning, mutual funds, and private wealth management. Our team of experts never stops helping you plan for tomorrow. Because tomorrow begins today. Call us at 502-7010 to see what our financial advisors can do for you. CFAO, growing wealth for future generations.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Okay, so two things. First of all, before we move any further with today, I want to send condolences on the passing of Pastor Dr. Timothy Stewart from Bethel Baptist. I hadn't had a chance to share that, but a great pastor, leader for many, a giant of a man, community leader there as well. So we want to send condolences to the family on the passing of Pastor Stewart early this morning. CA, we have a new government, and there's something traveling about Mother Pratt. I'm trying to get confirmation. From what I'm hearing, that is not true. So if you're seeing something, just don't share anything, please. So CA, all right. We have a new government now. What is the next step? I said something earlier with Pia Glover-Roll, and even with Wayne Monroe, that there is no honeymoon, period. The PLP said that they are ready to govern day one. And considering how quickly Philip Brave Davis has been sworn in this afternoon at 12:30, unbeknownst to the media, by the way, it's definitely some ninja move there, and caused a kerfuffle with media personnel. And there will be an official swearing in, when I say official, more ceremonial one tomorrow. What do you think right now should be the activity of the new PLP, this new government?
Well, definitely there needs to be a sense of urgency. You know, we are in a pandemic. We are at war with a virus, what is now killing our citizens. between today and yesterday, 35 more Bahamians, Bahamian nationals, people in the Bahamas, were declared dead because of COVID complications, mm-hmm. right? So now the honeymoon of that this 24 hours is over, right? It's now on the road and get to running now. I see the prime minister has been sworn in. Mm-hmm. We have a new prime minister. I expect tomorrow, when it's the ceremony, that the announcement of the cabinet will be announced.
Yeah.
Right? And then I expect by Monday, the new cabinet officials will be walking in Torrin and being introduced to their new jobs and getting acclimatized for that. And I expect there'll be some declarations of goals and objectives and I'm trying to get the right word for it, and basically conducting business immediately. And that's what I'm trying to get out, mm-hmm. right? There's no time to wait. I am concerned about this pandemic. I think the pandemic is the most urgent of things. Then secondly would be the economy and trying to get some new investors in the Bahamas. But right now, trying to get a plan, whatever the plan is, I know they announced that there will be a plan, but trying to have that plan up and running and that it's actually functional. So I'm hoping that that happens immediately.
You know, one of the plans was free testing, right? More testing, free testing. And based on the plan, this testing was going to help them to learn more about where the virus is, how to manage the virus. I wonder how soon that'll be brought up to snuff. I think there's a lot of challenges ahead of this government. There's a lot of challenges.
And challenges for whoever becomes the Minister of Health.
And the Minister of Finance.
That person will have the spotlight on them immediately.
Yeah.
You just mentioned free testing. You cannot come with that you have no idea how we're going to bring the free testing about, that you will start in a month. I'm assuming that you come with a plan that, yes, we've been working with these people abroad, or we have this financing to make these clinics. Because, you know, most of the testing is being done by private organizations, and that's who are pushing forward to get these results out quickly. And we know that the public hospital is stretched to capacity in terms of getting the results quickly. How is it that they're going to pay for this? When they go to announce that the money is here for that? And how that's going to be orchestrated, like where are the tests going to be? Can they have a large amount of Bahamians flocking to these clinics and waiting on long lines to get this free testing? Mm-hmm. How often can I get a test? Can I get a test every day?
Yep.
Or will it be once a week or yep. once a month? You know, and I just need a price tag on it. I don't understand it, and they would need to explain it. As soon as the Minister of Health is announced, he should be able to articulate what is it that is the plan for this free testing and this COVID plan.
And that's, well, of course, we know who the Minister of Health will be, Michael Dobell.
Why did you assume such?
Because he was the Shadow Minister of Health. So your Shadow Minister to move into the next government, he is the more senior competent in this matter. He was the Shadow Minister of Health, and he will be the Minister of Health. We know that the Minister of Finance is most likely going to be the Shadow Minister of Finance, Chester Cooper. Now, the other sections I'm not too aware of. Here is where I am totally with you on this, is that there's a lot of things, questions that they have to have answered, right? They have to have to know the answer to determine how best to execute it. How long does that take? How long do you determine how much money do you have? How much did the pre-election report help the government, the incoming government? Because if you remember, one of the things that was called out by Chester Cooper and then given to us was this pre-election report due to the implementation of the Fiscal Responsibility Act, right? So how much does that help them to know what we actually have in the kitty and to better plan? Because there's no transition in our government system. There is today, we're prime minister, you lose today, and tomorrow the new guy walks in. So there's no transformation or transition of information or strategy or policy. So will this government need time, or did they create a plan that takes into consideration the things that they don't know? So such as how many, like you mentioned, tests can we get whilst we figure out how much money we have? Have we already ascertained the locations for quarantine? Because that was one of the things that they mentioned as well. So that there is no honeymoon. And I actually took some delight in the fact that Philip Brave Davis, the Prime Minister Davis, now I got to get used to saying that, has quickly been sworn in and moving swiftly to become leader, and that we will see some activity, because of course the last guys quickly got sworn in and then took a brief vacation, but this is different times. So I have a lot of things where I'm watching, I'm curious, and will they get to do what they promised? And when do we start saying, but you're not getting it done? How much leeway will we give for a new government? And I don't think it will be as much as the last guys. And we didn't like giving them as much as we gave them. So it's very much a difficult, this is not going to be a cakewalk for sure. Not going to be a cakewalk at all for this administration.
And I agree with you. I thoroughly agree with you. And the entire Bahamas is watching. The entire Bahamas is watching because we express our concern. And also, this particular party announced that they had a plan. They have a plan. They have an alternative plan. And that their plan is superior than the last administration. So I wait. I watch and I wait. And I'm eager because clearly what was being done before was not adequate. Mm-hmm. It was not adequate. And you see it by the large numbers of COVID. And you see it by the large number of debt toll. And so I'm anticipating the plan.
Someone says they can use the visa money for a new hospital. How much money do we think that is there for from the visa money? Was it in the consolidated fund? What do we know about it? How much is it? And can it really be used the way we think it can be used? There's quite a bit of questions when it comes to where the funds are. And, you know, they said they were ready day one, and it's going to be a tough day one to 100. And we'll see if they can walk and chew gum at the same time. Long-term, medium, short, and long-term goals. CA, I noticed you having some technical issues, but, and you're back.
Yes, I'm back.
Yeah. So I have to ask this question now. So I'm thinking, I really don't know. I think for me, I need to see what are the first few actions that they do, which will let me know if they're serious, right? If it's really a new day.
Did the PLP announce a 100-day plan? Like in the first 100 days?
No. They didn't? Oh. No. And not yet. I was talking to someone, and I guess it's PLP Stallworth, senior PLP.
Okay.
And their thing is that it's not announced, but it is known that there is these first few 100-day initiatives, right? But what I need is focused intention. I don't need you to be all over the place, you know. We don't need you to be all over the place trying to build school inside. We need you right now. We need to deal with this pandemic, right? We need to deal with this pandemic. How do you get folks to take the vaccine? Not enforcing them, but how do you create that motivation, knowing full well that the science is there that backs the data, backs up the vaccine and its viability. Not its 100%-ness. We all know that, but that it helps. How do we move that train along as well? I think it's going to be very interesting. Okay, let's pivot a bit because we're running out of time, and I think I need to take a break before we do. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, CA, I want to get your overall thoughts on what you thought of last night. What did you think about last night and the election, the results? Were you surprised? Your predictions sucked. I still need my count salad. I am a winner in the prediction market. Well, close enough. And what do you think of it all as far as the process, everything else that we had concerns about? You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio. We'll be back right after this.
It's a hit back.
To
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Sugar, sugar, let's get sugary. Softer, smoother, and amazing skin. Oh, Baja sugar, sugar, we're the sugar ladies. Giving you skin soft as a baby's. Goodbye hair, we'll take good care of you.
Come visit us at Baja Retreat Spa on East Bay Street. Contact us at 323-6711. Or visit us online at www.BahaRetreat.com.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
You invest in your children, your home, and your community. But are you investing in your financial future? At CFAO, we specialize in investment management, retirement planning, mutual funds, and private wealth management. Our team of experts never stops helping you plan for tomorrow. Because tomorrow begins today. Call us at 502-7010 to see what our financial advisors can do for you. CFAO, growing wealth for future generations.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Listening to the Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My good friend C.A. Nuri joining us on the show. We are now day one into a new government. Hubert Alexander Minnis, the former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, is now the former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Philip Brave Davis is now the new Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and his team is ready to go. The Bahamian people elected not in the way that we're used to. Of course, voter turnout was not good, 78,000 out of 190,000. It has been reported, decided to vote yesterday. That is a huge drop in what we normally do. So that is something that social scientists must study. That we need to really be more intentional with information and understanding who we are, why we are, so that we don't make assumptions and that these things are critically analyzed so that we can know how best to serve the Bahamian people. I think that there must be some digging into that, Cecil. I think just before, for national interests, because if you are not getting, I believe if the majority of Bahamian people for some reason, not majority, but a good chunk are saying, hey, I can vote, but I'm not interested. I'm concerned that we're not connecting, we're not speaking to the heart of people, and to just assume that people are not voting because of Dr. Minnis. Maybe they're hardcore FNMs and they don't want to vote for the PLP, because you know there are a lot of people who say, I'll never vote PLP. And then there were some I know who said, I just can't vote for Brave. And then there were some like, COVID is a concern. You saw the craziness that happened with the advanced polls. So that's a lot of that. But to drop by such a precipitous amount, where all of these factors are part of why that didn't happen for each person. I think that that's a very interesting thing. But what were your takeaways from yesterday?
Now, mind you, I saw that there was an uptick. There was definitely a groundswell in support of the PLP, right? You saw it for the last 4 days, 5 days, the PLP had momentum. You know, we had initial count and our initial count changed, you know, in favor of the PLP. And then, you know, it changed again to give the PLP even larger numbers. Mm-hmm. However, I did not anticipate a wave of such, and that in particular constituencies, the difference, the vastness of support of the PLP would have been so different. We also anticipate that there would have been low voters turnout. But I had higher numbers. I thought it was going to drop to 70%, perhaps, know, but not dropping to 45, you know, below 50%. That says something.
That's dangerous to me. That's dangerously low for me.
And, you know, Bahamians tend to do trends. You know, we've been studying trend for a while, and I'll mention what the previous trend. But we don't want this to be a trend where there's voter apathy, where Bahamians say, man, the hell with you all. I'm not participating no more because both of you are the same, and I don't believe in any of you. We don't want that to happen. And I wanted to mention trends. We knew that for the past four or five elections, it went PLP, FNM, PLP, FNM. So we know that the FNM was in power, and that following the trend that maybe, perhaps, more than likely, that it would have switched over to the PLP in support, just following the trend. So that we had that going, and we were testing the theory on whether it was a trend or not. Then we studied battleground areas, right on the show, where you saw that particular constituencies were going PLP, FNM, PLP, FNM. And we noticed that that too was a trend. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we were wondering and wanted to test that theory, if it's a trend, on whether it would happen again. And we saw for a fourth or fifth election, the trend is proven true. So I'm now wondering now what happens in about 2027. I'm making sure my math is right. 2026.
Yeah, that's pretty
2026.
Bad.
Right.
Yeah.
2026, 2036. Right. Mm-hmm. What happens then? Will it be another flip flop? Because of the trend and we follow the trend, or this administration will break that trend by doing some kind of exceptional work or where it is, and that they can convince the Bahamian people that, yes, you deserve a second term.
Yeah, and that's it. The trend is happening because the Bahamian people are left dissatisfied, feeling as if all we are is just the voting public. We are the idiots that vote you in. And then nothing good happens to us, right? Nothing good happens for the majority of us. There's no transformative leadership. Cronies tend to get the better of governments. Your candidates end up with two and three homes, or there's allegations of corruption from the opposition. But when the opposition is in power, nothing happens. None of those things can be proven. So then you find that we are left wondering, What is this emotional roller coaster we're put on? Listen, there's a lot of reasons why Bahamian voters are disenchanted, disinterested, do not believe the rhetoric. As someone who has always stood in that position, that I cannot, a promise is a comfort to a fool. The rhetoric, the dance, the songs, they all mean nothing to me. Really, it's all about results. That's why I ask about strategy, because intention. There's a tension versus intention, Cecil. So all of that said is this. This administration, like the last, you have to do the low-hanging stuff that actually makes us not believe in your integrity, but forces your integrity. They must do the Ombudsman Act quickly. The Integrity Commission, make that something that is able to move and work independently, as well as the Commissioner of Police. Things where we have the true Whistleblowers Act, true freedom of information. Do those things quickly so that we then can have the systems that can force accountability. Those are low-hanging legislative acts that should be funded. But then let's talk about intention with your words. What did you say? Be one of the first governments in recent history to do what you said you'd do. You don't hear no story now. You did all of the speeches, you did the TV shows, you did the dance, you impressed us with the maturity of the campaign. Now impress us with the delivery of your words. And if you are unable to deliver, be man or woman enough to explain it, help us understand it, stand firm on it, but then pivot. Don't just quit. And focused intention means that even if you get derailed because plan A didn't work, you sit and problem solve until you get a plan B that gets you to the destination that we are trying to go. That is what the Bahamian people are looking for. We don't want friends, family, lovers. We don't want that. It would break my heart. It ain't gonna break my heart, I really, but it would be very disappointing to me. All of this talk of a new day and you still find out that really the day is still the same day we live in as Groundhog Day. Ain't nothing changing, nothing. The behavior is the same. We do the contracts, and once everybody eat, we're fine. Corruption is corruption. Let's stand on integrity. And I think that that it isn't the older people, you know, it's the younger people who are losing respect for our politicians and for politics, and they're not aspiring to do this thing. And I'm not a Klan woman. I don't care which team wins, you know. I'm just like football. I just like the game. So I don't have a team. I don't get excited when one win or the other don't win, you know. And for the record, Cecil, please let people know how long my hair been gold. I couldn't even go to
It's just more golder of recent. I mean, it was always yellow, but it's now gold.
Listen, Maria Alci, my hairdresser, knows exactly how to pick out the skin tones, how to bring me out. Yeah, man.
It is so natural. Look like you're born with that.
That's what I say. That's what I say. I'm a natural, right? So I think that what is expected, can this administration live up to its own rhetoric and above the people's expectations? I don't think many people expect that their words will be what they say it will be. And I think that's disappointing as well.
And Nahaja, you mentioned the word intentions. It reminds me of 2017 where the then chairman of the, I guess he's still the chairman of the Progressive Little Party, said, us losing isn't the final destination. We need to rebuild. And then they were being intentional in their way of trying to rebuild themselves. You see, they changed their constitution. They had some training for some candidates to try and look for better candidates. And they tried to reconstruct themselves and then put it forward to the Bahamian people to rejudge them. Clearly, the FNM, the Free National Movement, must do the same. They need to restructure. They need to test their leadership to see if that's where they want to go, and restructure and make themselves more appealable to the population in general, and be more intentional inside their decisions. You also mentioned low-lying fruits, right? We know that both administrations promised several things we thought was easy. These were things that the Bahamian people were calling for. You mentioned the ombudsman, the term limits. These were easy things, and we expected them within that few weeks. Yeah. And, you know, 1 year passed, three-year pass.
We might.
You know, 4 year pass, and you're just mad. You said nothing you said.
Nothing you said. Worse was the thing that they marched with us against.
Yes.
That was the only thing they did right away was the spy bill. And then they didn't want us to call it the spy bill anymore. What is it? The communication, some foolishness?
Change the name, and like we didn't notice. And this is, and one must realize, I'm not sure if the PLP realized, that the entire nation is watching, and they're watching because there are some names, there are some allegations, there were some words used to describe them, and we are watching to see if those words prove true, right?
Yeah.
So any small mishap, we will say, see, I told you so. This is what we've been warned about, and we know that they couldn't help themselves. So now, knowing that, this is what they should be their guidance rail for and protect themselves against.
CA, we got a lot to see. That's something what I love. Someone says, you know, I think the people are woke. I think we've been woke. It's just because we're tired, but we're tired. And there, I just want everyone to know, every election has been friends. Everybody tend to like me around every election because I've been hitting the present government hard because they're doing foolishness. I hope my friends are still my friends if and when this government do foolishness, because it won't change. Haji don't change. C.A. Nuri, thank you so much, my boy. I appreciate you. Everyone, have a great weekend. Please, everyone, please stay safe. COVID is still out there. People are still dying. Take your time. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9. We're out.